Well, for just a few moments as we close our time together, I want to maybe just pull some things together tonight about service. I have a young cousin, well, I say young, she was young a long time ago, she's probably older now, I haven't seen her in a long time, named Phoebe. Do you know anyone named Phoebe? Probably some of you do. You know why you know someone named Phoebe? Because the Bible in Romans chapter 16 tells us of a servant of the church named Phoebe. That's the only reason that name is still around. Isn't that interesting? Because someone served 2,000 years later, there's still people named after that person. Let's go back to Moses. Open your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 34. In Deuteronomy chapter 34, we find the death of Moses. God brings Moses up on Mount Nebo. We find in verse 4, the Lord said to him, "This is the land of which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to your offspring. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not go up over there." So Moses, the servant of God, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. But no one knows the place of his burial to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were undimmed and his vigor unabated. And the people of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the people of Israel obeyed him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. There has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. None like him for all the signs and the wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land. And for all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. When Moses died, people wept. That's pretty normal, right? We go to funerals, we see people weeping over a loved one. But I'll tell you, I had an aunt that died years ago. There were probably five people at her funeral because she was a mean woman. She was a hateful woman. Probably those five people were there out of a sense of duty and obligation, not out of a sign of love for the person who had passed away. So here's our question as we look at Moses and we pull this together. Who's going to be at your funeral? That may not be the question you want to answer right now. But all of us are going to die. And the reality is, our funerals are pretty good barometers as to how we impacted the lives of other people. I've been to funerals at Douglas Hills where the funeral home is so full of people that they have to open up other rooms because so many people came in who were impacted by the life of the person who passed away. And I'm not saying in any of this that you want to make sure that when you die, you pack the house. That's not my point. My point is, are you living a life of significance so that when you die, there will be people who will mourn because they needed you? And they're not sure how they're going to go on. That's a sign of someone who led a significant life. Stephen, when he died, brethren came and they got his body. And they mourned and they wept. Dorcas, when she died, people held up the pieces of clothing that she made and they said, "She made this for me." That's a life of significance. That's the life Moses lived. For 30 days, they formally mourned. But don't think it stopped at 30 days. The formal mourning ended.
people still wept.
Because a man who meant so much to them, who helped them in so many ways, was gone. A man who served them. Phoebe is remembered because she was a servant. Dorcas is remembered because she was a servant. Paul is remembered because he was a servant. Christ is remembered because he was a servant.
Sometimes on television beauty pageants, they'll say something like, what do you want to do with your life? Now, I want to change the world, or I want to get rid of world poverty. You know, those are lofty goals. Most of us will not get rid of world poverty. But you can let your light shine in your corner of the world. You can impact the people in this congregation for good. You can help someone and make their life a little bit better by simply being a servant. Are you a servant? The best way to become a servant of other people is, first of all, to become a servant of God. If you're not a servant of God this evening, you can become a servant of God this evening. You can choose to follow Him. The water is ready. If you're ready to confess the name of Jesus, be baptized for the remission of your sins, you become a servant of His. And then you really open up the door to impact the life of someone else. Will you do that? Will you take up the mantle of Moses this evening like Joshua did at Moses' death and say, "Make me a servant, and look for opportunities to serve"? Nothing stops any one of us from being servants except ourselves. Stop making excuses. Grab hold of God tonight. Serve Him and serve one another. If you need to become a Christian, we invite you to come down now while we stand and sing. If you need the prayers, come down now while we stand and sing.